Holy Spirit is a person. And we are directed by Ephesians to not grieve, vex, or offend Holy Spirit. And we have studied the Word, and we see that envy and jealousy are works of the flesh, works that would vex and offend Holy Spirit. To overcome envy in our lives, we need to resist comparing ourselves to others, to recognize our uniqueness, and to rejoice in what we have. Fourth, we are to ask God for what we desire and with the right motives. James chapter 4, verse 2 tells us how we are to ask for what we desire and what we need. He writes, "You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderers. To hate is to murder, as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask." Or you do ask. You do ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasures. Ask for what we desire and with the right motives. We're to stop lusting after things or positions. We need to fire up our prayer lives and get our motives pure. I've discovered that when I'm unsure about my motive, all I have to do is ask Holy Spirit, and He'll begin to reveal to me what is really at the root, what is really motivating a given desire of my heart. If I want to overcome envy, I need to resist comparing myself to others, recognize my own uniqueness, rejoice in what I have, and ask with the right motives for what I desire. And then I need to live a consecrated life. Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading a part of it out of the Message translation. It says, "But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original." I like that. Each of us is an original. So let us live consecrated lives. Live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, stay undercover, stay in the Spirit. Seek the wisdom that is from above. To walk this consecrated life, we must stay in the Word, and I believe avoid those with a competitive spirit or those who are angry. Listen to what Proverbs says about people who have a problem with anger. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22 tells us. A man of wrath stirs up strife, and a man given to anger commits and causes much transgression. Proverbs 22, verse 24 tells us, make no friendship with a man given to anger, and a wrathful man do not associate. So let's avoid those with a competitive spirit or who are given to anger. Avoid those who compare you with others, one who belittles you. Spend time with those who celebrate you and recognize you as a gift. You are, as the Word tells us, the apple of God's eye. Oh, there's no one that He loves better than He loves you. 6, respond to others in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious, nor boils over in jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Respond to others in love. Love doesn't envy. Love treats others as it desires to be treated. If I love my sister, I will treat her with kindness, regardless of her treatment of me. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. If your sister is selected to sing a solo, you know, to head up a special program, then rejoice with her. If she gets engaged and you're believing for a husband, rejoice for her. Envy does just the opposite. Pray for those who cause you to be angry, for those who hurt you, and don't give the devil place. That's how we overcome envy and jealousy. Resist comparing ourselves to others. Recognize our own uniqueness. Rejoice in what we have. Ask God for what we desire with the right motives. Live a consecrated life, a life in the Word, a life avoiding those with a competitive spirit or who are angry, avoiding those who compare us with others, who belittle us, and spending time with people who celebrate and receive us as gifts, and then responding to others in love, despite their treatment. 7, we have got to know without a doubt that we are the apple of God's eye. There is no one that He loves better than He loves you. Once you know this, then we can trust God to provide for us, to make room for our gifts and talents, to bless us with the things that we need. When I am confident that I am the apple of His eye, then I can have peace and rest despite the clamor, despite the confusion, despite the strife that may be going on at work or even in the church. I am the apple of God's eye. There is no one that He loves better than He loves you. Oh, beloved, it's time for us to overcome envy and jealousy in our ministries, in the church, and on the job. Let's close today by looking at Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16 through 19. This is what Proverbs tells us. There are 6 things that the Lord hates, indeed even 7, an abomination to Him. First, a proud look, the spirit that makes one overestimate himself and underestimate others. Second, a lying tongue. Third, hands that shed innocent blood. Fourth, a heart that manufactures wicked thoughts and plans. Fifth, feet that are swift in running to evil. Sixth, a false witness who breathes out lies even under oath. And seventh, he who sows discord among his brethren. And you recall what James chapter 4 tells us. What leads to strife, discord, and feud? And how do quarrels, conflicts, and fightings originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. You see, he that soweth discord among the brethren is one who envies and is jealous. Oh, beloved, it's time for us to move beyond works of the flesh and to walk in the Spirit, to let Holy Spirit, His presence, produce the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, self-control, and patience. Thank you for joining me today. It's been a pleasure visiting with you by the brook. Bye-bye. Holy Spirit is a person, and we are directed by Ephesians to not grieve, vex, or offend Holy Spirit. And we have studied the Word, and we see that envy and jealousy are works of the flesh, works that would vex and offend Holy Spirit. To overcome envy in our lives, we need to resist comparing ourselves to others, to recognize our uniqueness, and to rejoice in what we have. Fourth, we are to ask God for what we desire and with the right motives. James chapter 4, verse 2 tells us how we are to ask for what we desire and what we need. He writes, "You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderers. To hate is to murder, as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger, and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask." Or, "You do ask. You do ask God for them, and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasures." Ask for what we desire and with the right motives. We're to stop lusting after things or positions. We need to fire up our prayer lives and get our motives pure. I've discovered that when I'm unsure about my motive, all I have to do is ask Holy Spirit, and He'll begin to reveal to me what is really at the root, what is really motivating a given desire of my heart. If I want to overcome envy, I need to resist comparing myself to others, recognize my own uniqueness, rejoice in what I have, and ask with the right motives for what I desire. And then I need to live a consecrated life. Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading a part of it out of the Message translation. It says, "But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. I like that. Each of us is an original. So let us live consecrated lives. Live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, stay undercover, stay in the Spirit. Seek the wisdom that is from above. To walk this consecrated life, we must stay in the Word, and I believe avoid those with a competitive spirit or those who are angry. Listen to what Proverbs says about people who have a problem with anger. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22 tells us, "A man of wrath stirs up strife, and a man given to anger commits and causes much transgression." Proverbs 22, verse 24 tells us, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, and a wrathful man do not associate." So let's avoid those with a competitive spirit or who are given to anger. Avoid those who compare you with others, one who belittles you. Spend time with those who celebrate you and recognize you as a gift. You are, as the Word tells us, the apple of God's eye. Oh, there's no one that He loves better than He loves you. 6, respond to others in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, "Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious, nor boils over in jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily." Respond to others in love. Love doesn't envy. Love treats others as it desires to be treated. If I love my sister, I will treat her with kindness, regardless of her treatment of me. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." If your sister is selected to sing a solo, to head up a special program, then rejoice with her. If she gets engaged and you're believing for a husband, rejoice for her. Envy does just the opposite. Pray for those who cause you to be angry, for those who hurt you, and don't give the devil place. That's how we overcome envy and jealousy. Resist comparing ourselves to others. Recognize our own uniqueness. Rejoice in what we have. Ask God for what we desire with the right motives. Live a consecrated life, a life in the Word, a life avoiding those with a competitive spirit or who are angry, avoiding those who compare us with others, who belittle us, and spending time with people who celebrate and receive us as gifts. And then responding to others in love, despite their treatment. 7, we have got to know without a doubt that we are the apple of God's eye. There is no one that He loves better than He loves you. Once you know this, then We can trust God to provide for us, to make room for our gifts and talents, to bless us with the things that we need. When I am confident that I am the apple of his eye, then I can have peace and rest despite the clamor, despite the confusion, despite the strife that may be going on at work or even in the church. I am the apple of God's eye. There is no one that he loves better than he loves you. Oh, beloved, it's time for us to overcome envy and jealousy in our ministries, in the church, and on the job. Let's close today by looking at Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16 through 19. This is what Proverbs tells us. There are six things that the Lord hates, indeed even seven, an abomination to him. First, a proud look, the spirit that makes one overestimate